Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. We got a real treat for you this time. We're going to be ranking Mortal Kombat.
You do know it was originally going to be like a licensed title based on Jean-Claude Van Damme's Bloodsport, right?
I did not know that. So it was Johnny Cage, literally, like, was going to be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I think what I remember hearing is that they actually wanted to get Jean-Claude, but of course he felt that project was likely below him at the time.
Oh, it was. It's, funny thing is, like, the story of Mortal Kombat is more realistic than the actual story that Bloodsport is based on. It's totally fabricated.
Yeah, I mean, did Frank Dukes really beat Ogre at Karate Champ? You know, like, who knows? I don't think so.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Tatanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
Don't be a smart-ass kid.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're going to be talking about a special game this time. We're going to be talking about Phantasy Star. Perhaps you've heard of it, for the Sega Master System. Okay, so this game was nominated by Mixing Metaphor Soup. This is a slush pile nomination. So, yes, we do actually do those. It was developed by Sega and published by Sega for the Sega Master System. Earliest release date and territory appears to be December 20th, 1987 in Japan. Who's with me to talk about Phantasy Star?
This is Norm, normally Retro.
And I'm the Great Clay.
So if you recognize Norm's voice, there's a reason for that. Norm is our theme song MC. So he's the guy you hear at the beginning of every episode. And he does, like, I think I know every last word of it by heart by now because I have to edit these.
Are you serious?
I know. I could do it myself, impressed. But I don't want to embarrass myself. But I could. And it's like...
The hard part with the long part at the end?
Well, I don't know whether I could do that.
Okay.
I don't know whether I could do that. I know the words for sure, but it's like you have no idea how much I hear your voice in my head, because that song has been stuck in my head for almost since I started to do almost since we added it. It's like It's like the go to thing, especially right after an episode gets posted.
That's hilarious.
I can't get it out. It's like it is stuck there.
I'm still supposed to write the verse out for somebody, but I haven't gotten around to doing it. So I don't know, because I didn't write it down. And, you know, I just kind of like spit it into my voice recorder. And
really?
Yeah, and just went over it a bunch of times until I memorized it and then spit it into the microphone.
Now, we will talk about Phantasy Star, I promise, but I'm curious, is that how you do most of your songs?
That's how I do all my songs, because if I write it, I can't remember the cadence. So if I vocally say it, I can remember it easily because, you know, I hear it. So it's much easier that way. So I just basically freestyle and cut it into parts.
Wow. I'm impressed. And we got one more person with us.
I am Word on the Wind.
Welcome. Glad you could make it right on time. So, Norm, don't let me forget before we go. I want you to be able to plug your, I don't know, probably SoundCloud, right? Or is it a...
You know what? Now, the SoundCloud's coming later, but I want to plug my Rise From Your Grave, Remember, it's Gwaid, W, not R.
So where can we find that?
That's on YouTube.
Okay. So, and you're Normally Retro on YouTube as well?
On Twitter.
On Twitter. Okay. So go to Normally Retro on Twitter. I say that in the end of every show.
Mm-hmm.
But, so people do know that. But make sure, yeah.
This is my opportunity to hear it because I don't listen to the end of the show.
Oh, you Philistine.
I'm on the show. Why do I need to listen to it?
So let's get on Phantasy Star. Who here played Phantasy Star recently?
So, yeah. No, actually, this last week or so is the first time I've really played the original Phantasy Star.
Anybody else? Any other first-timers?
This is my first time playing it, but I've known about it for how many years now? Decades.
Yeah, it's one of those. Now, has anybody played, like, say, Phantasy Star 2 or one of the other Phantasy Stars?
I've poked at the all the Mega Drive ones, and the only one I finished is 4, which is, in my mind, the only one worth finishing.
Same. I finished 4, and I did that about, what, 15 years ago?
I've about beaten the other three. I think I finished 4, then I think I lost, like, my Genesis before
I played 3. I played 3, but got irritated and just shut it off. I didn't like it.
Yeah, that's... 3 is kind of a hard sell. I can appreciate a lot of, like, concepts and ideas that went into it, but boy, howdy, their implementation is, ooh.
So 1987 puts this game, let's say, I think it's after Dragon Quest II, maybe?
Somewhere in that ballpark, before FF1.
It's really similar to Dragon Quest to me.
It is and it isn't. It's amazing because it's like, for it to be so close to Dragon Quest and to have come up with most of the same, because remember, like, Dragon Quest is trying to, like, translate the kind of computer RPG tropes to like a console game.
Mm-hmm.
And its answers for the most part became like kind of the standard, with the exception of needing to like tell yourself to climb upstairs and things like that.
a command to tell yourself to go upstairs.
I've played Jetpack lately.
I've heard the Japanese versions of Dragon Quest games to this day still require that just for nostalgia's sake, or maybe you can turn it off.
The Super
I'm gonna go with no on that one.
Yes, pass.
I can tell you, the Super Famicom remakes don't have that.
Mm-hmm. Can confirm. So.
Too bad.
But...
too bad. I'm Xerxes, and I endorse tedium.
Yeah. So a lot of the things that you see in Dragon Quest are there. So they do, like, the wizardry style, like, you know, you just have a monster show up, and the monster just shows up, and it's like a first-person thing, and you do that, and the combat works the same and stuff like that, but it's got the dungeons, the dungeon crawling dungeons, which are really cool. And I don't think those are in any of the other Phantasy Star games, correct?
They are not.
They, in an interview on Shmuplations, they said they wanted to do it in part 2, but they said the mechanics would be way too hard to do and it would be like take too much manpower and time. And they said, no.
I wonder whether they were like, so we can't do mazes for the dungeons anymore. Why don't we just make all the dungeons gigantic airport hangars with like, teleport paths everywhere and make sure you're just wandering around in rooms that are so big you can't see the walls.
They are mazes, just not in the sense that, you know, they're first person mazes.
I know that, right. One is like multi-layered, two is like five levels. This looks insane on part 2.
Yeah, part 2 I felt like was more of a slog than this one. This game's like it's not too short, but it goes quickly enough, and I felt like it's got a lot of cool features. I mean, like, for instance, like the enemies have a little bit of animation, right?
That's dope. I love it.
And we promised our buddy Taxal that we'd mention that the dungeon crawling segments where you go into the dungeons, you'd think that they'd be like very herky jerky, like just moving, like chunking along, you know, one block and without any transition, but it actually does have pretty smooth scrolling, which I imagine was not an easy thing to accomplish.
Yeah. I don't think it's a stretch to say that this is one of the most visually impressive games on the Master System.
Yeah. Even of that era, honestly.
It really benefits from the super bright, like, Master System color palette, right?
Mm. Yeah. And it's really good. It actually kind of mixes up the palettes throughout the dungeons. Like, the ice palette, or the ice planet has, like, instead of, like, all the floors and walls and ceilings being the same color like it can be for a lot of the dungeons, it makes, like, the floors and ceilings black and just keeps the walls blue. So then it looks like you're in a dark, icy tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, this other cool thing, like you get a pet, you've got a pet character, you know, I can't remember what little goober's name is.
Meow.
Yeah, Nyan, yeah, meow, yeah. The Japanese meow. This is one of my favorite things, is anytime I'm learning about a new language, my first question is always like, how do they like make dog and cat sounds? Because apparently every nation on earth hears it differently. And everybody's like, why would you say meow? Like that, they don't say meow. They say, you know, whatever they're wan or whatever, like, you know, for woof or something like that. Like, everybody's like that. Everywhere I've been, like every language I've heard about, like they're all like it. They'll do that.
There are, you know, regional differences, you know, of the sounds animal make in, you know, different countries, you know, like, you know, dogs that are native to Japan or have, you know, lineages that have been in Japan long enough are going to make different noises than,
yeah, but
you know,
they
Western
still
ones.
Sound pretty much like dogs.
They're on the same they're on the same wavelength, but they don't sound the same.
Not exactly, but they don't sound like any more like wan than American dogs sound like woof, right?
Like, I would disagree with you there.
Okay, look, I will go next time I'm in Japan. I will go to a pet store and I will just interrogate the hell out of the first like Shiba I can find. Like,
should have invited
speak to me.
You should have invited an animal sounds expert here. You could handle
that.
I said aminal. I'm embarrassed.
Xerxes, give me some animal crackers.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Anyway, like there's other cool kind of firsts, not first, but like kind of special things about this game. So for one, like the hero is a young woman, and not only that, but they put the young woman on, I believe, the box art even in North America.
Yep.
I love it. It's so dope because they don't allude to her being a woman at all. It's just like she's just a hero character, and you don't have any question about it. I love it.
Yeah, and she's not all like tarted up and like the Athena, you know, like bikini type thing. Like she's actually just wearing like the regular armor.
Yeah, she's wearing, you know, a hauberk, leggings, an open front skirt, and boots.
And then if you look at four, it's like another one that's named Allison. She's just as badass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's probably not a coincidence because wasn't one of the main designers on this game a woman?
Like, okay, so I was going to wait until later into the episode to bring up Ms. Kodama, but I feel that since she's such an important figure and yesterday was International Women's Day, I figure this is a good time to spotlight how this is a very important point in her career and her contributions to the medium.
Yeah, what else can you tell us about her? Work.
All right, so she started her work as an artist, and she joined Sega in 1984, and she worked on a couple things before Phantasy Star, but Phantasy Star was where they actually kind of like gave her creative freedom, and they actually kind of wrote around her designs instead of her designing around the design of the game, and that's where she just kind of threw in, you know, without really thinking of it as, like, a very big deal, you know, okay, main character is, you know, a young woman, she's going to have this, you know, cat friend, there's going to be a guy, and then there's also going to be this other character who was originally actually conceptualized as intersex. Ultimately, she went with androgynous for the Lutz character.
And that's I just want to butt in, is that the character that returns in Phantasy Star 2, sort of?
Sort of, kind of, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And her vision for the game impressed Sega so much that over time they promoted her to director, and she was the director on Phantasy Star 4, and that's why that's the best damn game in the series, because she knows what she's doing.
Yeah,
it was really good.
She also made Magic Knight Ray Earth for the Saturn, and after that she was a producer where she made Skies of Arcadia, another excellent classic game, and the most recent series of work that she contributed to was the Seventh Dragon series. She is often consulted by people at Sega for, you know, okay, you get the whole thing about what do ladies want. What should we do about this? And she is, you know, actually very respected in the field as someone who actually, you know, can point at something and goes like, that's not a good look.
Norm, what were you going to say?
No, like the Cake and Dungeons, that was apparently all the females idea in the game. As, you know, referring back to the Shmuplations article, the guy said that they wanted to have something kind of funny and cute that a person of that rank, which is the governor, would want something as a gift or a prize, and the best thing they could come up with was cake in a dungeon.
Hey, yeah. Don't knock on dungeon cake. I mean, it, for all we know, it could be really good.
That's my favorite thing in this game.
That's even weirdest.
For a thousand like Mercedes, fight damn well,
a dragon just to go get cake.
I mean, there's so many fascinating things about this game, and really, like, so its real contemporary here is Dragon Quest, maybe the first two, if that. And
so I wanted to talk about that actually.
Okay.
So the game. The more I thought about it, the more it feels more like a PC game than comparing it to Dragon Warrior. Like, I think it's a lot fairer to compare it that way.
Okay, besides the dungeon crawling stuff, why do you say that?
The structure on, like, going to towns, like, bouncing around them and finding things, and it's rather kind of open in that regards.
I can actually agree with this, like... The really early part of the game is very, you know, okay, you need to go here to here to here to here to here, you know, if you actually want to get your party and, you know, not die super horribly. Mm-hmm. And then after a point, it just kind of like, all right, you have a lot of options now. Like, it doesn't become, like, absolutely nonlinear, but it's open enough that you could, you know, definitely see how it would compare to older titles like Ultima.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah, like, definitely. Like, I wandered into quests at times. Like, hi, we're going to do a thing now. I'm like, oh, that was a thing? All right, well, let me look at my big, long checklist. And all right, that was a thing I needed to get done.
And when you get to spaceship, it's kind of like, it's free-for-all. You can do anything you want to in any order as well. So, like, I have a torch, and I have no idea what I'm going to burn with it.
It's got to be something to burn. I mean, like, the crazy thing is, despite the fact that you get torches and, like, dungeon cake and stuff, like, it's a sci-fi game. Like, it doesn't just go with the generic, like, fantasy setting. It goes with, like, a space fantasy? I don't know what to call it.
So,
but Medusa's in it.
Going back to Ms. Rieko Kodama, she actually made the active decision of, okay, if Dragon Quest is trying to emulate what Western fantasy looks like, I'm going to emulate what Japanese sci-fi would look like, and then mess with that a bit by giving the characters, like, more medieval outfits.
Yeah, it very much, like, there's a way, like, I don't know why, but for some reason the game reminds me a bit of like the original Gundam series, not because that one's way more, like, closer to hard sci-fi, but it is also kind of like the closest you're going to get to, like, Japanese Star Wars.
Well, it's and also the hairstyles.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's in space and we can, like, travel between planets and things, but for some reason, like, we're going to have a giant robot with, like, a sword and shield because it looks cool. Like, there's a lot of that, and I don't feel like that was necessarily, seems like it wasn't questioned by the audience. And that was smart because it wasn't questioned by the audience here, like the, you know, the 25 people who played Phantasy Star when it was new in North America. Like, I don't think I actually knew somebody who had a Master System and was always talking up Phantasy Star, but they were like JRPG nuts back before we even knew what a JRPG was.
Now, can I say something about Phantasy Star when it came out back in the day?
Yeah.
There's a reason why I didn't play Phantasy Star back in the day and I'm doing it now. It's because the first RPG I played on a Master System was Miracle Warriors. And I don't know if anybody's played Miracle Warriors, but that game is deep fried ass. Like, when I first started, literally, I walked out, you know, I got my message from the king. I guess he's the king because he had royalty and shit. So I walked out, you know, ready to fight. And then I saw a townsperson. So I said, let me hit the townsperson because I just want to smack him up a little bit. And he killed me. Literally, I'm not lying to you. The townsperson killed me. And I had a sword and he had a sack. I don't know. So I was like, Phantasy Star, no, F that. I don't even want to touch that. I hate these games. Like, they're all like Miracle Warriors.
I had a Master System when I was a kid also, but, like, of all, like, the really good, you know, you gotta play this Master System games that are out there, and I have a majority of them, this was never one of them, so I didn't ever play this as a kid, and, like, I feel kind of robbed.
The cool thing about... Too. Oh yeah, the cool thing about playing it now though is that you get to have the FM sound channel, right?
Oh man, no, that's worse. It sounds terrible that way.
I like PSG. I'm sorry.
Yeah, PSG. Like, FM Synth may be technically superior, but the music was made for the PSG, and it sounds way better for it.
Yeah, we argue about this in the Pixelated Audio Discord and, like, Newtopia Nemo. We both love PSG, like, crazy instead of the FM.
I'm with you.
I find the, like, harsh, like, I find that really, really tough to deal with. Maybe it's not really all that different. Maybe it's just like, you know, like how they sell, like, remember when they used to sell those, like, gold plated, like, audiophile CDs? So it's like, it's Elton John's greatest hits. It sounds just like Elton John's greatest hits, but it's made of gold and it therefore must sound better. And, like, people who are idiots like me were like, you're right. This does sound better. I don't think it really did.
I've got one of my best friends is an audio guy, and, like, he never skips a chance to dunk on how fucking stupid audiophiles are.
It's crazy. And what I love the most is I'll get back to Phantasy Star in a second, but, like, now you go into, like, any, like, Walmart or like Target or something, and you'll see these, like, they're selling, like, vinyl records now, so you can get, like, you know, Thriller on vinyl again, as if that's not, like, everywhere, because exactly. It sold, like, a jillion copies.
Yeah.
But it's like, and it's like, those new vinyl things are mastered from CDs, so really, which you're is very just strange. Getting the CD.
Yep. You're getting digital audio to analog, which is doesn't make any sense.
It's just like, it's a kitschy thing to have, or I don't know what, but
why not?
Taking it back to this, I do appreciate the way that the PSG sound chip kind of, like, holds notes whenever you're transitioning between a thing, and it just kind of, like, holds the note, but it also fades it out.
Mm.
And what was cool to me is
go ahead.
What was cool to me is if I finally get to see the basis of all these remixes on part 4, because they have, like, remixes for the dungeon theme, and you can actually see whatever. I like Uwabo, I think that's how you pronounce his name, and I think his songs are, like, really dope. But to see that this was the basis for that song of Phantasy Star 4, that's really cool.
That is, I forgot that about Phantasy Star 4. It's really, like, they kind of revisited it with Phantasy Star Online, but that seems like it's more of its own thing. So yeah. Phantasy Star really just kind of...
Yeah, PSO is its own thing, and Ms. Kodama never worked on any of that. Like, Phantasy Star was the last that she actually touched of the franchise, and frankly, I think that shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's... anyone who played the game recently, can you remind me what the story is? Because I only remember the beginning part where your, like, brother gets beaten up.
Yeah, That's a lot of the story. Like, literally, the game is like, all right, go, the king is bad. Your brother went to go try to beat him up, and he got his ass kicked for it. And then most of the game is literally just, like, I'm 99% sure I know where the king is, and most of the game is just been trying to get through his front door.
I think a more accurate way to phrase it would be, like, it's one of those things where you have to kind of, like, pay attention to, like, the environment and set pieces to kind of piece together just what the narrative is. It's like, okay, so Alice's brother, Nero, was killed for resisting King Lashik. Okay. She said, like, and you go around, it's like, okay, what about, you know, the spaceport? The spaceport you need, you know... papers to get through, very specific papers that no one in the town is willing to give you, and mm-hmm. the robot cops don't give you any kind of instructions on how you would go about getting such a thing, and in order to actually acquire them, you have to go to an entirely different town where someone is selling, like, contraband or falsified papers for a relatively exorbitant price and is, like, trying to keep it hush-hush. Like, I think that speaks, you know, for the setting, you know, more than any cutscene would.
And you know that there's a presence, like, oppressing every world, but you just don't know what it is yet, and it's, like, just a mystery to see what is causing all this
mm-hmm.
imbalance, I guess you could say.
Well, I mean, it's still almost less than, like, even the second Dragon Quest game. It's... It's got a little bit of neat atmosphere stuff. Like, you can run in, there's towns that you have beggars. Like, there's a whole bunch of places that are like, yo, can I have some cola?
That song, like, for sure. The town song is so sad too. It's like really, it makes you feel like you're like in a slum alley or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, really, that's kind of the neater part.
Yeah,
that's true.
And there's like a bunch of other comments about how, you know, it's like, oh hey, you know, the JRPG trope of monsters have started becoming a thing lately that didn't used to be a thing. So it's like, oh
yeah,
so then trade between towns is shut down.
Yeah. They've got to explain why there's like no roads, nobody on the roads, like nobody knows anything. It's, I mean, there's, this is a kind of a common, I don't want to say problem, but like a thing that happens a lot in early JRPGs, especially where it's like, there's a bad guy at the end. And, but how the bad guy is affecting the world is not entirely clear. And usually the only way you know is because there's somebody in some town is like, the monsters didn't used to be such a problem, but lately they've been really acting up and causing a ruckus. These monsters are out of control.
Tricky about that. They explain it four games later.
Yeah, that's the other weird thing about Phantasy Stars. It actually does kind of connect, sort of.
Well, Dark Force is the presence of evil that causes all this. So,
yep. Yeah.
There is like, Dark Force
straight up, Star. Four is more of a sequel to Phantasy Star than two is. I know that two is chronologically right after, and it is like directly connected, but it feels more like a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the two's a good. Well, there's another game though. They had a Game Gear game, right?
That one. Those were sequels to two.
Yeah,
Little Side Story. That's the one that I thought. I was thinking of being super connected.
There's one Phantasy Star Gaiden that actually has Alice Landale in it, but you know, being Gaiden, you know, it's kind of questionable, like how canonical it would be.
I mean, it's Phantasy Star. Is anybody really keeping that gate? You know what I mean? Like, I think if we just declared it canon,
since Phantasy Star Online became the whole thing. Ugh.
Yeah, but exactly. So you heard it here first. The Game Gear Final Fantasy was quite a thing to see. the Game Gear Phantasy Star, 100% canonical Phantasy Star. All right. I think we got to kind of move on to ranking, unless there's anything else anybody wanted to mention about like the gameplay that was interesting or,
yeah,
go ahead.
Well, cause I kind of wanted to bring it up during ranking. This is a super 1980s RPG though. It's really, really dry gameplay. And while I like it, I don't. It's got a lot of problems. Like Xerxes mentioned earlier, you've got the whole like walking upstairs in Dragonwire. This game has key doors, doors that are locked, and there's literally, I think, two keys in the game. One of them is most of the doors, and I have absolutely zero idea why the game makes you use the key six times a dungeon.
Every time.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy.
It's really weird. Combat's kind of all over the place. I want to talk about trap chests for a minute. This game's got trap chests, and they're bullshit.
Yep. I mean, there is, you know, an anti-trap spell.
Yeah, there is, but fun fact, did you know the cancel button's kind of wonky in Phantasy Star?
Yep, you hit cancel, and it says, okay, you do want something to eat.
Yeah, if you're on a yes and no menu, it regards cancel as confirm. You have to go down and hit no. Yeah. So I can't tell you how many times I've accidentally blown myself up.
I remember that. Oh, man, that was the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible.
Another thing that kind of irritates me is that they don't have any way to replenish your magic besides going into hospital. So, like, you can eat as many burgers as you want to, but burgers don't bring up your magic points, apparently.
Oh, yeah, on that, actually. This game has no status. Well, it's got, like, the you're trapped for a turn, but this game's got no status effects.
For a JRPG of this vintage, I'm kind of grateful for that because
yeah, I was thinking about that too. Because I was in a dungeon with a bunch of zombies and like manticores, and I'm like, man, I'm surprised I haven't gotten poisoned yet. Then I like thought for a second, like, wait,
you want to get poisoned?
Poisoned at all?
Yeah,
interesting.
Thank God.
Because the way it used to be was like, now you get poisoned and it's like, it makes more sense. And in the, like probably starting with like, you know, maybe the later Dragon Quest, but certainly by Final Fantasy IV, I think poisoning is a little bit more fair, but I always, it seems like when you play these older RPGs, it's like, you're poisoned. Like, it's like the five finger death touch in Kill Bill where it's like you take five steps and then your heart explodes. Like you have no time.
Yeah. And even that aside, this game's kind of like sort of mean, like, dying, any character, well, especially Lutz dying, is this gigantic pain in the ass, because then you have to figure out the last, you can warp back to the last church you used, but if you forgot to use a church on the right planet, you could warp to three planets away. And yeah, there's a lot of weird, dumb tedium in this game.
Norm, I think you played it, you said you played it without a like a guide or a walkthrough or anything, which is commendable. Was it fair? Or
did it without look. I purposely didn't look at any, you know, guide or anything like that. And it's kind of fair, but you kind of have to, it's basically touch everything. And I don't even try to use the search like key. That's just stupid. I don't, how could you search for anything in an entire world? It's just dumb. But I mean, I ran into roadblocks from time to time, but you know, after like an hour or two of like boosting my party to like destructive levels, I'm like, I have a team of assassins. So anybody touches me dies. But, yeah, I found my way with the ice digger the other day. I was just like running into ice, just like ramming into ice, like whatever, wherever. And I just found something that broke and I was able to find the torch.
Wow.
Quick question.
No, the prism. My bad.
Have you found the mirror shield yet?
No, I don't. I want to kill Medusa so bad.
Okay. You have to use the search for that.
Oh, God. Well, I quit.
I'm not. It threw me. I've been doing most of this game too without a guide. Although I'm a far more impatient person, so I give it about 10 minutes of thought, and then I'm like, "Yeah, all right. What the hell am I looking for?"
Okay, so we got to rank this thing. Like, I think we covered what makes it kind of special, and we kind of covered what makes it kind of a hard sell these days. But
I mean, like, all things considered, I would rather play OG Phantasy Star than OG Dragon Quest or OG Final Fantasy, because it's the most distinct and interesting among them.
Well, let's define OG Final Fantasy, but...
Well, the O stands for original, and the G stands for gangsta.
Okay, so let me try that again. I would rather play this over the NES Final Fantasy, but, like, the PlayStation Final Fantasy, not a chance in hell.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's kind of an unfair comparison. It's like, oh yeah, let's try, how about this version that came out 10 years later? I'd rather play one.
It is unfair, but I agree.
Well, yeah, but I can play literally anything at any time, so, and we've got to rank all 47,000 games. We're contractually obligated.
I mean, if I can play anything, then I'll just play Final Fantasy V again.
Anyway,
but I think that's a good point though. Is like playing the original Final Fantasy is probably not really worth it, simply because there's other Final Fantasy games that play exactly the same way but better. Whereas with Phantasy Star, there's no Phantasy Star that plays the same exactly as another Phantasy Star, because there's only five of them if we count the Gaiden, which I just declared to be canon. So like, you know, it's like each one is kind of special or something in its own way. I feel like this game has a lot of character. The only thing it's really missing is, like, although the enemy animations are really cool to see that in a game like this, you know, you don't have, like, the Dragon Quest style, like, that, those, you know, it is generic fantasy stuff, but it has so much heart to it, like, the designs.
Oh, I love the way it looks. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And, you know, I will never stop shouting from the rooftops about how, like, okay, here we go. The first, like, effectively AAA RPG that stars a lady, and it's, you know, the best in its class of its time.
Telling you. Yes, necessary play.
Yeah, that's a good point. Clade, were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that... I was just going to point out that we do eventually have to rank this.
And that's why I'm saying that.
Well, yeah. I know, but I'm going to say that I don't think this goes at all above Lunar. I think that's the ceiling here.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa.
Whoa, whoa.
Are you begging to get slinkied, Clade?
It's down here somewhere. I just have to find it. Like, I know it's down here. I don't know. Why do you think it has to go below Lunar?
Well, because after I'm done with this game, I'm never going to touch it again. Never in a million years. It's charming as hell, but it's got a lot of tedium bullshit, and I don't like it all. Yeah. And it was like, it was a fun ride the first time through, but I mean, hell, I've played Lunar three times now.
Yes, but you're a lunatic.
Well, yeah, I'm a lunatic.
You're a lunatic.
My brand of lunacy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to point out that Lunar is sitting at 272, which is pretty damn low for a game that is this much of a hallmark and an influence.
But it's not really.
Oh, bullshit. Don't
do bullshit. Wait. All right, so I think we've got our low bid here. Who thinks they would put it the highest out of all of us? Who just were
me?
Okay, where would you put
naturally.
It?
I'd put it above Dragon Quest V, which is sitting at 134.
And why would you do that?
Basically, every single argument that I already made regarding, you know, how much of a role model that this game is regarding, like, hey, women can be heroes too.
That's the one reason I really like this game so much. I mean, they, like I said, they don't question the fact that she's a woman. And they don't even question the fact that Meow is a cat. It's so dope.
Yeah. Can you have, like, most of your party die and then the cat, like, drags your bodies back down? And
says, yes.
I'm not sure, but that would be seriously
can.
Dope.
You can.
Okay. All right. That, see that right there. That means it goes a little bit higher.
Are you saying that, Miao is a Dog's Bower S character?
No, I'm just saying that. just thinking about that is funny to me. So,
you know what? The fact that we have R-Type up there above like some of the other shooters means that it should go a little higher too, because R-Type is the beginning of, you know, that type of game, but there are better versions of R-Types, but, you know.
True, right.
So I think we should rate a little bit higher.
Yeah, I mean, R-Type is, like, it's probably not the R-Type to go to if you want to play R-Type.
Yeah, that's probably R-Type 3.
But,
3, 2, 1, let's go!
But it does have a lot of, episode 33? I can't even remember what we were thinking, but I'm guessing it's because, like, R-Type was, it may not be the go-to game for that series anymore, but it does. I mean, it did start the series.
Given that it was like over 100 episodes ago, I'm going to guess that it used to be way higher and then a bunch of shit got put over it.
Well, I think it might have been way lower and then, you know what I mean? Like, but because it's right around like Final Fantasy Tactics, Mega Man 3, like other games, those kind of act as like kind of like life support for other, you know, like if you're surrounded by games that are really, really good, it keeps you up there in the list. Fair enough. Dragon Quest V, I think that's pretty fair. It's a little bit higher than I would go.
Well, Norm, okay, so let me.
Let's hear what Norm has to say.
Norm is.
Okay.
I'm good with a little bit. I would actually go maybe. Because she's talking about Loom and, you know, Ninja Warriors. Yeah, those are classics. So I have to put it at least. I put it above Dragon Quest just for the mere fact that, you know, it began the this type of genre. Not this type of genre, but, you know, this type of game style.
Right,
which is the same thing as influence. Yeah, influence. There we go.
Okay, all right. Can I make a case for putting it below Dragon Quest V?
Why is that?
I was saying that hoping that a good idea would pop into my brain and I would be able to finish that.
Okay, Edgeworth. Okay,
I got something for you.
I can't do it.
Just to be complicated?
Yeah, just to drag this out a little bit longer.
Just looking to channel his inner Edgeworth.
You make a good argument.
Journey.
Okay, so can we put it right above Dragon Quest V and we'll say it's or right below?
I'd say above.
Right below. Above. Hold on here. Because we're still ranking games, and Phantasy Star as an RPG isn't that great, is the problem.
It's fine.
It's better than Dragon Quest 1.
It's better than Dragon Quest 2. It's better than Final Fantasy.
Look, I'm having a fun time.
There are things... remember, there are other purposes to this list. It's not... The purposes change depending on what I want to happen at the end of the episode, but the purposes can be like, people... It's worth checking out and trying, even if you're not used to games like this, because it is just different enough and it's very colorful. It's very beautiful. It's got great music. It's one of the few Master System games that, really just trounces its competition on the NES.
Yeah. That was another thing that I wanted to add, you know, like, this is a Master System game. We don't have a lot of Master System games on the upper end of the list. Hell, what even is the highest Master System game on this list?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. This is like a Master System.
And this is quite possibly the best game on the Master System, you know, all things considered.
Could be. I mean, there's like some Wonder Boy games, but they were on other platforms. Mm-hmm. So, the other thing is like, I would say that the other good Master System games, like, they don't really stack up to their competitors. Like, Zillion kicks ass. It's great, but it's not Metroid or like Zelda 2 or anything like that.
That's what I'm saying about Phantasy Star.
Ms. Kodama did the designs for Zillion, incidentally.
It only really holds up in 1988.
Okay. How about this? We will acknowledge your opinion, Clade, by putting it right below Dragon Quest V. Keeping in mind that in a list this long, that is almost indistinguishable, and that you're getting it, okay? So nobody can say, because, you know, this is my penance for the Slinky. So how about that? Is that okay?
Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, what do I have to do? Okay, that's where it goes, right below Dragon Quest V, right above whatever is previously below Dragon Quest V. Where, I lost it.
Oddworld.
Oddworld. Spider-Man. Oh, no, excuse me. Oddworld. It's Oddworld.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to go above Oddworld. I mean, come on.
Yes, please.
If you're having your doubts, just remember, you could kill your entire party except for this magic space cat. That magic space cat will dutifully and heroically drag your corpses back to town and rejuvenate them. Give it a shot. It's an amazing game. It's beautiful.
And this is one why of cats a kind. Are better than dogs.
Give it a shot. Thanks, everybody. And what was I supposed to do before we left?
Thank you again, Norm, for guesting.
Yeah, and thanks for the song.
Thank you for the beat, dude. I loved it. The whole performance was so dope. I love it.
I thought it was so cool. It's like it gives our show so much. Like, it gets us off this, like, I always feel like we cannot deliver on the song. So it's like, it sounds like, oh man, these guys are going to just like rip into this game. They're going to go, and now it's like, we're just, it's nothing changed. We're not, you get a, but yeah, so, you know, but hey, we can live up to it one day, I'm sure. So check Norm out. He's on Twitter at what? Normally Retro, right?
Yep, Normally Retro. And check Rise From Your Grave, because who doesn't want to hear Michael Jackson sound clips?
I can't think of a single person. Yeah. That's it. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
We're back.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.